Isaiah and some other volunteers are passing out some cards, and so I'm going to let them pass those out and chat with you for a moment as I'm... Do you guys remember, you know, this time of year, baseball season, we remember, you know, all the great things. Do you guys remember the first, you know, when someone taught you how to catch baseball? Do you guys remember that? Does anybody remember? You know, I remember, you know, my dad teaching me, you know, you guys are distracted. You're passing those cards. Don't read the cards right now. Look at me. Okay? You don't need to read the cards. They're not going anywhere. They're yours to keep, okay? But these precious few seconds when I'm trying to make a point are going to be gone, okay? Bottom line is, we remember when we were young, someone taught us how to catch a baseball. Someone taught me how to hold a bat. Someone how to hold my feet. You know, you were taught the fundamentals when you were little. And then what happens, I mean, I've never experienced this myself, I'm just told, what happens every year in February, March, when all the baseball players go to Arizona and go to Florida? What do they do for the first 2 weeks? They focus on the fundamentals, right? Throwing the ball, catching the ball, hitting the ball. Yep, I mean, that's it. They work on the fundamentals. They get those down. So even a professional baseball player who's been doing it for 15 years and paid millions of dollars needs every year to go back and work on the fundamentals, right? Okay, they're not above it. They're not beyond it. They need that reminder every year. Now, we are starting a series on prayer. And what I was thinking about to myself is, you know, over 25 years ago when I became a Christian, Andrew and I went through this Bible study called New Believer Study, and we learned to pray. And we learned that acronym, ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. I learned that over 25 years ago when I first became a Christian. And you know what? For some of you, you learned that acronym 50 years ago. And yet here we are at spring training. We're going to go back to the fundamentals, okay? And for some of you, either you don't have, you've never developed, you know, a really solid prayer life. Maybe you're just confused. You don't know where to start. This is what this next series is about. There's four sermons, four cards. You got one. First one's adoration, okay? Well, the acronym ACTS stands for, like I said, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And even that can be, can bring some questions to your mind. For example, adoration. Now, how often do you use that word? Probably not all that often. Doug used about as on Mother's Day. Once a year? Every day with Joni, every day. Okay, we'll ask her about that later. Doug shows adoration to his lovely wife every day. Adoration, adoration means worship, okay? It means worship. It means to acknowledge the one that we adore. Confession, I don't know if this is confusing to you, but confessing isn't necessarily just admitting all of your faults to another person or even to God. Confessing is looking at God's word, in contrast to your behavior, and agreeing that there's something wrong. You know, if you have bitterness in your heart and you're holding on to hate, and you come across a scripture that says that it's a sin to be unforgiving and to hold hate in your heart, you know what? Now you've got a conflict. Your behavior against God's word, and you know what you do? You confess, God, your word is right, and I am wrong. Please forgive me. Help me to change this behavior. Thanksgiving, same thing. It's expressing gratitude. And supplication. Once again, a big fancy word that nobody uses. Supplication simply means supply. So if I asked you, Jim, would you supply me, you know, a hammer? I've got some work to do. Or would you supply me a saw? I've got this project. I need a saw. I ask you to supply me that, so then I've made a supplication to Jim. And then Jim will probably turn me down because he knows I have no business with a saw or a hammer. That's just like God. He's going to turn you down too if you ask for something you don't need. Or he's thinking, who do you think? Anyway, just teasing. I know you well enough. Anyway, so the bottom line is we're starting this series on, it's called The Acts of Prayer. And we're going back to the fundamentals for some of you. For some of you, you're learning this for the first time. But why is it so important that we learn to pray? Why is this emphasis here? Well, we should ask the disciples that same questions, because the disciples who spent 3.5 years with Jesus, as far as we know from Scripture, they never asked Jesus, based on Scripture, they never asked Jesus, Lord, how did you multiply all that bread and those fish? How did you heal that person? How did you cast that demon out? They didn't ask him how to preach, teach, heal. They asked him nothing. They said, Lord, teach us to pray, which is right on the front of your card, isn't it? Why not teaching and why not teaching, preaching, and healing? Well, number one, in Scripture, we are commanded to pray. Okay? Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. And when you pray, it doesn't say if you pray, it says when you pray. We have God's promises to answer prayer, and it's right on your card again as a reminder. It says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. And again, right on the border of your card as a reminder. In 1 John, John said, and we are confident, listen, we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask anything that pleases him. And since we know that he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Jim, will you give me a hammer? Okay, there you go. It must please you to give me your hammer. So you're going to give it to me. Anyway. Listen, we have confidence in prayer, not because of our eloquence. Now, that's another fancy word. You know what? We have confidence in prayer not because of our big words, because we have a big God. Our confidence does not come from ourselves. It comes from him. I love this quote on prayer I want to share. Prayer is the heart and soul of every successful relationship with God. No one's relationship with Christ will ever rise above the level of his or her praying. Simply put, if your prayer life is inconsistent and weak, I would add non-existent, so is your relationship with God. Now just think about this for a minute. This quote is true. If you're married, and if I just ask you simply this question, is your relationship better when you're communicating with your spouse, or is it worse? Some of you are thinking, Mel, you don't know my spouse. The bottom line is, we know that communication improves our relationships, and the same is true with God. If you guys remember from our series last year, where we went through that devotional book called Love to Pray, this is a quote from Alvin Vandergrind. He defined prayer like this. He said, prayer is the conversational part of the most important love relationship in our lives, our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the introduction to our prayer series. And I hope you feel motivated and excited to go to basic training and to remember these fundamentals again, because I want to say for myself, remember, this is over 25 years ago that I learned how to pray using Acts. And I want to say to you that I have not faithfully used that method of prayer day in, day out, all my Christian life. I've backslidden some, and I've had some good days, good weeks, bad weeks. I've had bad years. Anyway, we all need this lesson on the fundamentals, so I hope you're encouraged. So here we begin for today, focusing on adoration. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem before his arrest and crucifixion was recorded. Now, it's easy to forget that when Jesus rode into town, he rode in with a great deal of fanfare and praise when you consider how the week ended. Now listen to the crowds when Jesus rides into town on that donkey or that colt. Luke chapter 19, this is what it says. All of the followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessing on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." Jesus replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." Wouldn't that be amazing to witness? Now, because of what we've seen through the miracle of Hollywood and film, we can imagine a little rock with a little mouth. We see all kinds of commercials with inanimate objects with a little mouth talking to us, or dogs, etc. Imagine the rocks along the side of the roads just with developing mouths and start cheering and screaming and praising Jesus. Well, I'm sure this is a metaphor, but it contains an important truth. Jesus will be worshipped. His creation will adore him and cheer for him. And if we neglect to, God will find a substitute. But he won't make us. We were made to worship God. We were made to love him with all of our hearts and minds, souls and strength. It is our design. It is your design. There's a place inside of you that just longs to worship and to know the living God. It's part of your DNA, part of your makeup. Well, this is why, now besides the fact that it's clever, I think this is why A comes first in this prayer. This is why the A for adoration comes first in the model prayer. So let's read the definition on the cards. Everybody got their cards? I know it's on the screen, but get your card out. Indulge me, okay? Come on. Pretend like you're paying attention. Read the little card. This is what it says. The purpose of adoration is to help remind yourself of the wonderful majesty of who God is. Reviewing God's majesty helps to put you in a prayerful frame of mind. During this time, focus directly on God, adoring him for who he is, his names, character, and his roles. Worship God with your heart, mind, and voice. When we begin prayer in adoration, we are reminding ourselves just who it is that we are talking to and how much he loves us. We're reminded of his glory, of his power, of his strength, that he is in control and sovereign over all things. And when we neglect to worship God in prayer, when we neglect to worship him and adore him properly, our faith diminishes. Our problems magnify, and our God becomes a small God. This is exactly what Keith alluded to a few weeks back when he said, "Big problems, small God." Keith remembers that, don't you, Keith? On the back of your adoration card, there are some sample verses for you to read and meditate on and apply to your prayer life. And those are the verses we're going to go over today in the message. Now, there are hundreds. That card could be stacked, probably thousands. Hundreds or even thousands of verses that we could be teaching on and going over, but we're going to stick to the ones that are on the back of the card. Because if we did an exhaustive study, we'd be here till Wednesday or maybe the following Wednesday. So we're going to look at these passages and learn how to focus directly on God, adoring him for who he is. So the first one is from First Chronicles, and this is a prayer of David. You guys with me? All right. Reading from 1 Chronicles, it says, "Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Amen. Wouldn't that have been wonderful to hear King David pronounce this prayer and share this prayer aloud with the countless thousands of Israelites as they are worshiping him? Just put yourself in that mind frame, in that mindset. Put yourself there. So, what does David first acknowledge in his prayer? The first thing that he acknowledges about God in his prayer is that God is the creator of Israel. And in that one phrase, God is the creator of Israel, he is acknowledging the promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's acknowledging the fulfillment of all the things that God has done just in that one verse, in that one word. And we too are to acknowledge God as our creator. We are to think back to, the Bible says that God has known me since the beginning of creation. That means he's known my name. He's known every characteristic about my life. He knew I'd be standing here today preaching this message all the way back then. He is capable. His knowledge is far more mind-boggling, or we're unable to understand that, than we could possibly imagine. The other character traits that he talked about and qualities that David followed up with are his greatness and his power, his glory, victory, and majesty. This just makes you want to break out of the song, doesn't it? All right, let's go. All right. I don't know if you remember this. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit put in my heart. So you don't like it, you're going to have to complain to him. Oh, Lord, we praise your name. Oh, Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of peace, mighty God. Oh, Lord, God Almighty. Now see, I managed to speak it without singing it. Let's give me a round of applause. All right, good job. Okay, I'm totally kidding. That was not in my notes. Totally spontaneous and embarrassing. David acknowledges his power and his majesty, and then he prays. Not only did you create everything and make this nation, not only are you great and victorious and powerful, majestic, and yet everything in heaven and earth is yours. Everything. God, you are our creator. You are glorious. You are majestic, and you own everything. Can you see how David's prayer, I'm certain he sat down and wrote this out in preparation, and this is what he had in mind. What a prayer of adoration. Now think about incorporating this model prayer into your own prayer life. Reword this. I don't know how often you guys do this or not, but I will take a passage like this, and I'll reword it. I'll put it in my own words. I'll cut and paste it. I'll copy it somewhere where I'll see it and think about it, probably for 2 or 3 weeks at a time before I get bored with it, and I'll move on to something else. But take this passage, make it your own. Apply this to your own life. Think about God's quality and his characters. Okay, the next verse on the back of your card is Psalms 25:8. And it reads, "The Lord is good, and he does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray." So what character trait does the psalmist identify right here in this verse? Good. He is good. God is good. He is righteous. He is good in nature. He's righteous in conduct. This means he is benevolent towards us, towards me. Because if I'm lost and I'm off doing something I shouldn't be doing, God isn't obligated to correct me or teach me or instruct me in the right ways. He's good. And you know what? He deals equally with all people. His goodness leads him to express his grace towards all of us, to those who will humbly listen and obey his instructions. The psalmist reflects on how God's goodness impacts us. He says he shows the proper path, which means that God is our teacher. He corrects us and disciplines us so that we might live righteous lives. So think about what David has just said and what I've just reiterated. God, you are good. What does that mean? God, you are good. That means that you extend your grace equally to all people. And I praise you for that. God, you are good. And that when I'm on the wrong path, you want to correct me and teach me. You are so good. I praise you for that. So when you think about every one of these character traits, God's goodness or his love, etc., think in your mind, elaborate in prayer and praise God for those qualities. Don't just state his qualities, but just reflect on them and make them part of your prayer. Because God is good, we can trust him and worship him without any reservation. We don't have to hold back. We can put our whole hope and faith and passion in God. And this fills our hearts with confidence as we approach him in prayer. All we need is a humble heart. This is what David wrote in Psalm 25, starting in verse 9. He says, he leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. So the Lord is, because of his goodness, he is willing to correct you and teach you. And because of his grace, he's willing to do that for anyone who is humble and will listen. The next verse on back of your card is Psalm 63, verse 3 and 4. It says, your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Now, I don't know how often you do that. I do that occasionally. But your arms get tired, don't they? All right? You ever tried to do that for like 5 minutes? Okay. Well, just because it's tiring doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, all right? But anyway, what character trait does the psalmist identify here? God's love. Now just think about this again. Go back in your mind's eye, or in your mind, you're praying, you're alone, you're speaking to the Lord, and you say, Lord, your love is more than I can even imagine. It's greater than anything that I can desire on this earth. Your love, Lord, is greater than life itself. And even the best life you could possibly give me, your love is greater. I just want to praise you and worship you because your love is so incredible. You see? That word love, that idea in prayer becomes something you're worshiping and you're adoring God because of, not just reciting some words, but you're really acknowledging and thinking about that character trait. Well, God's love is better than life itself. Not just my life, not just your life. It's better than a life of comfort. It's better than a long life. It's better than a prosperous life. His love surpasses anything that we could possibly desire or wrap our hands around on this earth. There's nothing greater. Now, what word comes to mind when you listen to David describe God's love and his response? Let me read this again. It says, your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Is there one word to describe the worshiper in this verse? I mean, I have several of them, but the ones that come to my mind are passion and desire and thirst and longing. That's what I get from David's prayer, or from this verse regarding God's character. Reflecting on God's love, remember that his love is better than life itself. Will fill us with the same passion. Ask God to fill you with the same passion, with the same burning desire to know him and to praise him. And the one thing that really robs us of our joy and robs us of our desire of God, as everyone knows, is sin. And that's something Keith's going to talk about in the next sermon. Not next week, but the following week. Sin robs us of this intimacy and blocks our view or our desire, our passion for Christ. Okay, moving on. That's not part of this sermon. The next couple of the verses on your card are from the book of Revelation. Revelation 4:8, it says, each of the living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Day after day, night after night, they keep on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." And in Revelation 5:12 it says, "And they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" He deserves our praise. He deserves all praise. He deserves all glory and honor because of who he is and because of what he did to redeem us. The character traits that John identified in these verses are his holiness. His holiness means that God is wholly other. He is set apart. He is transcendent, above and beyond anything that we can comprehend in this life or anything about life from the beginning to the end. I remember this as I was reading this and thinking this through. I remember this quote. I don't know, you probably have heard this quote before, but and I don't remember who where the quote came from, but this quote says, "Show me a worm that understands man, and I'll show you a man who can understand God." Not only is he holy, but he is eternal. Before anything existed, he existed. He isn't a created being. He's the author of creation. All things were created by him, for him, through him, and for his pleasure. Because of who he is, our God, our Creator, we acknowledge his worth, but we also acknowledge his worthiness to be worshipped because of what Jesus did on the cross. He isn't just worth because of his character traits, but he's worthy to be praised and worshipped because all he's did for you and me. As we get ready to close now, the elders are going to come forward, and at the end of the message, there'll be an opportunity for you to come forward and pray. But listen, if you want a more meaningful and more effective prayer life, you need to take some concrete steps to incorporate more adoration in your prayer life. God's word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Think about that. As you are praising God, you're worshiping him and acknowledging his character, who he is, and the things he's done for you. As you worship him, he inhabits your praises. He's present, he's hearing, he's enjoying. This means that you will enjoy the manifest presence of God while you worship him and praise him, while you thank him, confess your sins to him, and ask him to meet your needs. So be encouraged. Believe that you can develop a better prayer life. Listen, the Major League Baseball players who go to spring training, in the first couple days, they're swinging at 85-mile-an-hour fastballs, and they're missing, and they're fouling off. They're not making good contact, but they keep working. They keep striving, and by the end of 2 or 3 weeks, they're hitting 95-mile-an-hour fastballs, and they're hitting them hard, and they hit them where they want because they're working at it. They're practicing. Those people do not start, they don't start playing the games for real until they've had plenty of practice. It takes practice. It takes work. I mean, seriously, do any of us believe that we're going to develop a strong, effective prayer life, great communication, great relationship with God without practicing, without working? And if you just come up to God casually and you're not really thinking about who he is, Creator, Lord, he's my boss, he's in charge, he's sovereign. If you just come to him casually and you're like, "Well, I really need this, and I'm really upset about that. Can you take care?" You come to God and worship and you practice that. So that's what I want to encourage you guys to do. Take that card and take it to heart. As you do, you will learn to walk in powerful daily prayer. And God will transform your entire life. And I can testify to that myself. E.M. Bounds said this, "Prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty." That is a beautiful quote, isn't it? So I've got a suggestion for you. I got three. Try to do all three, but if you just take one, that's fine, okay? First suggestion is this. Everybody's got a card. My suggestion is take your card and tape it to the mirror in your bathroom. Or tape it to the TV where you roll over and you flip on the TV to watch the morning news. Put the card there. Wherever it will get your attention first thing in the morning, look at that card, adoration, and remember Mel said, start your day worshiping and adoring God, okay? That's it. Now there's three more cards. I'll tell you where to stick those later, okay? I didn't mean it like that. Okay. Suggestion two, as I shared in the message, don't just restate God's character traits. You know, I want to challenge, I mean, I'm just thinking this off the top of my head, but what if you thought of just one word about God? Let's say God's grace. And you said, God, you are gracious. And you spent the next 2 or 3 minutes just thinking about God's graciousness and what that's meant to you. God, your graciousness means, you know, when I was hurting, you brought the right person in my life to share something comforting. I just want to praise you for that grace. You know, Lord, I'm hearing the news about what happens to Christians in China and other countries. I mean, I feel so blessed to be in this country. Thank you for that grace. I praise you for your grace. You just think of one word and just meditate on what that one word, that one trait of God's means, and just praise him for it. So that's suggestion number two. Suggestion number three is this. Is I want to encourage you. Now, this was not part of this message because it would have been much longer. Praise God and praise him using his names throughout Scripture. If you remember, if any of you have it, in the back of your disciples' journal, there is a page with like 30 names. There you go. Chenille's got it. There's like a list of like 30 names of God. It says the name, and then it describes what that means. Use that name. So, for example, Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. And this word peace, this word shalom, is complete wholeness. It's not just peace of mind and, oh, today's a good day. It's completeness. Praise God for his completeness and for his peace. Elohim, he's creator. Elroy, the God who sees me. Anyway, those are some more suggestions to incorporate God's name in prayer as well. Now, you have to do some work. They're in the back of the disciples' journal. You can go online, and there's a whole lot more than the 30 or so I've gotten there. So as we close in prayer, I'm going to close in prayer. And after we pray, we're going to stand, and we're going to, if you know the song, that's fine. We're going to listen to a song. It's called the Names of God song, and it's beautiful. First of all, if you look at the imagery, I don't know what it'll look like on that screen. If you look at the imagery, it's just moving. And if you just listen to the words, and I would highly recommend, you can find it on YouTube, download it, put it on your phone. I listen to this song often. It's a great song to remind you of God's names and what they mean, and it's a great way to worship him. So, I'm going to close in prayer, and as we stand and sing, if you really feel led this morning to just come forward and share a burden, maybe there's something weighing your heart, maybe, you know, in your own prayer life, it's like, my prayer life is dead or non-existent. It's not what it should be. And you just want to, let's say Doug. You say, Doug, we pray that I will apply what I've learned today. You don't have to elaborate. You don't have to say, just say, I want to have this prayer life. I want to have these fundamentals. So if you want to pray and share that with one of the elders or you got some other need, come forward. Okay? I'm going to pray, then we're going to stand and sing. Heavenly Father, you are God. You are Creator. Everything that exists in all of time and space is something you planned and you put in place. There's nothing beyond your reach or beyond your understanding. You are sovereign, you are holy, and you know everything. And so we worship you as our creator. And Lord, we worship you because of your greatness, because of your goodness and your love, which is more than we can possibly even understand. I know it's higher and deeper and longer and wider than we can realize. Lord, I just pray this morning that as we think about the fundamentals of prayer and this, the acts of prayer being something easy, something fundamental we can all grab a hold of, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help us to apply this. Even if we're seasoned veterans and we're just going through and working the fundamentals, or if we're brand new to our faith and brand new to following you, I pray, Lord, that we would learn what this means through this series and we'd apply it to our lives, that our relationship with you would be as good as you want it to be and as good as we hope for. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen.